All the good stuff that was in chapter 6 last week could be labeled chapter 6A, and this will be chapter 6B. But in this chapter that Bridges has written about the in the pursuit of holiness, he anchors it with a verse from Romans chapter 7, verse 21. And he says, and Scripture says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." As I set up this study for last week, I reminded us all that Romans chapter 7 is an example of how all of us struggle with sin. And Paul, I think, various ones have looked at that chapter, and some think it was the pre-Christian Paul or a non-Christian person struggling with sin, or someone who's not really a Christian. But I just, as I shared with you last week, I just think that Paul was just being honest with how he is tempted and how sometimes he falls short of the mark as well. And I think in that honesty, he speaks right into the heart of all who would read those verses, because we follow that same path. We follow that same course of life, is that when we have a desire to do right, but we know that evil lies close at hand, and it's right there to pounce whenever we let our guard down. Just a little bit of review. We talked about where evil is, and it resides in the heart of man, and we explained that the heart of man is made up of all of those characteristics, that emotional package that we encounter the world with. And so that heart of man are all of those things inside of us, our emotions, our will, our reason, our understanding, and sin resides in all of these things. And sin is ready to exert its influence over all of those things as we encounter the world, as we go about and try to navigate the stuff of life. And so that heart then that we know from Scripture is also deceitful. And as we said last week, some of those movies that you see where the hero or heroine is encouraged to follow their heart, where Scripture advises against relying in totally upon your heart, because, like I said, the heart is deceitful and it's and desperately sick, Jeremiah says. Who can understand it? Then Bridges goes into that deceitful heart and knowing that hearts are deceitful. And then he warns us that we need to be sure that whatever internal look that we have in our heart to try to find the sin that is hidden there, to be sure that that internal look is led by the Holy Spirit. Because he said, if you don't allow the Spirit to do the investigation within the sinful and deceitful heart, that you could fall into two traps. The first trap was what he labeled morbid introspection, which means that you look at yourself in too harsh of a light. And that can lead to depression or discouragement. And as Bridges reminded us, a discouraged Christian then walks around defeated. And we want to be honest in our emotions. We don't want to walk around with plastic smiles, because all of us know that that's not the true Christian life. But at the same time, to be discouraged all the time leads one to thoughts of defeatism, thoughts of thoughts that could lead to more and more sin piling on, because we get to the point of, well, what's the use? You know, I try and I try and I try, and I just can't get over this, or I just can't resist this, or whatever the situation may be. And so he said you could fall into that kind of trap where you're too harsh upon yourself. And as I used the illustration last week, sometimes I talk to people who say, well, God can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. And so I like to remind those people with those kinds of attitudes that they're actually putting themselves on the throne of God, because they're saying, well, God is naive enough, is too naive because he'll forgive me, but I know how bad I am. And so I'll say that I can't forgive myself. And so that's that morbid introspection when we're too hard upon ourselves. The second trap, he says, can come up when you're battling sin in one area, but that area, that sin that's leading to that conflict in that area may actually be coming from a conflict in another area. For example, as I brought up, you know, a marital problem, you could come in for counseling and that husband may be struggling with an addiction or something, some other problem within his life, and then that translates into a conflict with his wife, or vice versa. The wife could be struggling with something. So in that heart, when we're looking at our hearts and our lives, when we are reviewing our lives to see and asking God's leadership to expose to us the sin that is there, be sure that we want to focus on the main thing. We might want to focus on the big sin, but it's the little sins too that can trip us up, and enough of the little sins can be just as destructive, or the little sins can be just as destructive as the big sins. So that's sort of a brief review of what we talked about last week. So now I'm going to start with the second thing that Bridges talks about. The first thing was we should realize the heart is deceitful. The second thing is we should realize is that indwelling sin works largely through our desires. Now we might say, well, duh. But we want to keep ourselves reminded of this, that indwelling sin is keyed in on our desires. Now that word desire sometimes brings with it false conceptions or misperceptions. All desire is not wrong. You can have good desire. You can desire a closer walk with the Lord. You can desire a better understanding of Scripture and those kind of desires. But the desire here, of course, is that desire that leads us further away from God, that desire that leads us into sin. And what he wants us to understand here is that if we're to win this battle with holiness, that we must recognize again that that problem lies within us. It's the desires that we have within us. It's not the outside temptation that is always the start of our sin. That those desires come from within. Yes, we do have outside influences that speak to us, outside influences that tempt us. But it's that inward man, the heart, the sinful, deceitful heart, it's the desire that we have on the inside that triggers our walk into sin, our sinful activity. So this is what he wants us to be aware of as he's writing this particular chapter, that it's not always those outside influences there. And he asks us to consider the particular temptation that we are all susceptible to. Now, I share this with you a lot, but if we were to go around the room and ask us if we could be this open and honest, what is your temptation? What do you struggle with? There would be many things within this assembly here that we struggle with. And that's what, if I could go on a little rabbit trail here, what makes a healthy church is when we understand that each one of us struggles with things in a different way. Each one of us handles the stuff of life in a different way. Some of us have an attitude, and we'll talk about this in just a little bit, but some of us have an attitude, well, I don't struggle with the same thing that he struggles with, and so I can't understand how somebody could do that. You know, I've never been tempted that way, so I just can't understand how somebody could do that. Overlooking what we struggle with, overlooking the things that lead us into sin, overlooking the things that we have a hard time saying no to. And so we tend to be judgmental because somebody has fallen into this trap, and you know, whether it's unfaithfulness, whether it's addiction, or you know, you fill in the blank. Just because that particular sin, that particular temptation doesn't tempt you, doesn't mean that we should not show compassion, doesn't mean that we should not understand that we're all struggling with something. All of us have something within us that is hard to say no to. And that's what makes the attacks of Satan so strong, because he knows us better than we know ourselves in many cases, probably maybe even in all cases. And so the attacks of Satan that come zero in on those places where we find hardest to resist. Now, whatever it is that you struggle with, Bridges is asking all of us here in this chapter to just stop for a moment and think about those times when you are most susceptible to that temptation that you struggle with, whatever it is. What kind of situation are you in? At what times of the day or your life does it come to you? Does it come to you when you're angry? Does it come to you when you're frustrated? Does it come to you when you're worried? Does it come to you when you have strong lustful desires? Does it come to you in other times and in other forms or fashions? What is it that you struggle with? When does that come? When are you most susceptible to that? When do you find yourself most following that path that temptation brings to you, to act it out in whatever way that temptation is encouraging you to act out? And so he says, if we are honest with ourselves there, we'll see that it's not so much the outside influences, but it's the internal desire that's looking for opportunities to act out that whatever it is, that lust, that anxiety, that anger, that, whatever, that addiction, whatever it is. And so Bridges wants us to take a good hard look at ourselves, a good prayerful long look at ourselves, asking God's wisdom and insight for us, asking His direction for that Spirit to show us, God, when are we the most susceptible? At what points am I more likely to fall into this kind of sin? And he says, if we are honest with ourselves, just to repeat here, if we are honest, we'll see that a lot of those times, most of those times perhaps, that temptation is not so much coming from an outside source, but it's the internal desire looking for an avenue of manifesting that desire in our lives. There are those times when temptation can come unexpectedly. And that's why we all need to walk in a spirit of awareness, understanding more and more who we are as people, understanding the triggers in our lives that could lead us to acting out on that desire that is within us. The more we understand ourselves, the better we are able to navigate the circumstances that can come our way, that can trigger these desires. We understand ourselves better by continuing to reflect upon God's Word, meditating upon it, whether we hear the Word or whether we read the Word. But we meditate on that Word and let that Word do its work. Let the Word of God do its work within our hearts. That Holy Spirit then applying that Word, that Holy Spirit opening our eyes and opening our hearts, revealing to us who we are as people, revealing to us the desires that we have there. Because sometimes those desires could be, as I pray on Sunday morning sometimes, even hidden from our own eyes, even hidden from our own awareness. And so let that Holy Spirit do its work. Depend upon that Holy Spirit and let Him take the lead in our lives to show us who we are. The third thing he says here is that we must understand about indwelling sin is that it tends to deceive our understanding or our reasoning. He says the seed of the mind is carried out little by little. If you're in an army, or you're in a position where you need to have situational awareness, if you've ever been in a situation like that, you'll know how important it is for constant watchfulness. How just a brief lapse can allow the enemy to gain the advantage upon you. And that's where I think we as Christians fall short many times, is that we allow our awareness, our watchfulness to wane We sort of go to sleep at the wheel, as that expression is. And when we go to sleep at the wheel, we allow the enemy the advantage of surprise. Or we allow the enemy the advantage of coming upon us at a time where we are least able to defend ourselves against this temptation. And that can come from overconfidence. You know, as we said before, we can have the mentality, well, I would never do something like that. None of us know what we're capable of given this bright situation. Let me repeat that. None of us know what we're capable of given the right situation. Think back over your life. Think back over some of the things that you've done in your life, that we've done in our lives. And ask yourself, before I did that, could I have seen myself doing that thing, whatever that thing is? And I know some of the answers in my life is, if you had asked me a year or two before, I would have said no. But none of us understand what we're capable of, given the right situation, the right set of circumstances. And so watchfulness and awareness. Awareness comes from understanding who we are. What are our triggers? What are those things that are most desirous, that we're most desirous of? What are those things that we're more apt to give in to? And then watchfulness, being alert to our weaknesses, taking on the characteristics of Joseph in Scripture, where he fled from sin. Now, folks, that's not always easy to do. We're not always able to flee from sin. Joseph crashed out of the window and he was still blamed for it. When he was there in a situation, a young man and a woman that desired him, and they were alone in the house, he could have surrendered, but he ran out of the house and left her clutching his robe. And then she was able to concoct the story, and he ended up in prison. So he suffered for his own watchfulness. He suffered for his own, perhaps, awareness of who he was as a person. He wanted to get out of that situation as fast as he could. That is good advice for all of us, to get out of those kinds of situations as fast as we can. That's not always possible, but if it is possible, get out of those situations as fast as we can. Divert our attention. If you're home alone and some temptation, some desire, you know your bodies, you know your minds. Start a new activity. Change, turn the page. You know, whatever it is, leave that situation. That's what Bridges is reminding all of us, that watchfulness and that awareness. Another thing he says is that we abuse grace. Jude 1:4 says, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." The abuse of grace. A man wrote a book one time. I'll think of his name in just a moment. A German writer, Bonhoeffer, wrote a book called Cheap Grace. And he was reminded of how Christians focus more on God's grace and forgiveness than they do on God's holiness. Bridges is saying it should be reversed. Grace is good. Grace is wonderful. We depend upon grace. None of us could walk the Christian life without God's grace. But if we focus only on God's grace and not His holiness, we're more apt to fall into the trap of sin, because how many of us have said, I said it just last week in a situation, sometimes it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, right? How many of you know you said that? You've heard it said? It's similar to what we're talking about here. Well, God is the God of forgiveness. God will forgive me. And so their mindset is, I'll do this thing, whatever it is, God will forgive me. So by thinking that way and focusing more on God's grace and not on His holiness, we're more apt to set ourselves up for failure. Because in our minds then, we are abusing that grace. Folks, what would you think if young man, young woman, they were in trouble and you constantly bailed them out? Whether it was actually bail money from getting them out of jail or whatever it was that you had to do to get them out of trouble. Oh, thank you, Mr. So-and-so. Thank you, Miss So-and-so. And then they go off and next week they call on you again. Can you help me out? I got myself into a little bind here, or I'm calling you from jail. You know, I just don't know what happened. I didn't even know I had that in the pocket. You know, you hear all these stories. How long would it take you to finally say find somebody else? Or spend a few days in jail, it'll do you good. And so think about yourself in that situation. And now think about how we focus on God's forgiveness after we get ourselves in trouble, after we break His law, after we fail to do our part of watching and being aware. God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Have mercy on me. I'm so sorry. And over and over and over again. Now, God is the God of patience. God is the eternal God who loves us beyond all means. And so I don't want you to think that I'm saying God's grace will run out. It won't. But as we pursue our personal holiness, our focus should be on God's holiness and not on His grace. Our focus should be becoming the men and women of God that reflect His image, that walk in the paths that He wants us to walk in, that speak the things, the words that He wants us to speak, that do the things that He wants us to do. Our focus is on that, relying on grace to give us that encouragement, relying on grace to empower that walk through the Spirit's presence within us. We rely on grace, but if our focus is on God's mercy and not on His holiness and His righteousness, then we'll have more of a tendency not to be able to stand in the face of temptation. It's what Bridges wants us to focus on here. What I want to leave you with here is a verse from Matthew, and let this follow you through the Thanksgiving and Christmas break. Matthew 26:41, Jesus is encouraging His disciples here. Matthew 26 is like an apocalyptic chapter. Jesus is talking about the things that's going to happen toward the end of the world and other time periods of time. And He tells His disciples, He says, watch and pray. Notice He says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And then this is the part of that verse that you know. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is, you know it. I'm reminded when I read that, my father had a story he used to tell as he got older and his body aged, and he was a man of the woods and a man of the farm, and he just went out and did whatever he wanted to do. And so as he aged, you know, he went up to this ditch one time, and he said, my mind told me I could jump that ditch. And he said, until I tried. And then he said, my body told me, you must be crazy. Because he didn't make it across the ditch. And so that spirit, you know, our minds can fill us with such false confidence. That's not a problem for you. I can put it down whenever I want to. I can go be around those people and I can smell that all night, but it'll be fine. I won't be tempted. Our mind will fill us with all of that false hope and that false confidence. God will forgive you. And so that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. Watch. That's the first word in that verse. Watch and what? Pray. Watch and pray. Pray that that Spirit will continue to enlighten you. Pray that that Spirit will continue to reveal to you the person that you are on the inside, your struggles, your weaknesses, your strengths too. It's not all negative. The positive stuff. Who you are as an individual, who you are as a person, what are your triggers? Let that Spirit take the lead as He investigates, as He shines that light into all of those dark caverns of our hearts and leads us on that journey of exploration as to who we are on the inside. Pray that God's Spirit will do that. Pray that God will continue to hold us and focus us. Pray the promises of Scripture that says that there's no temptation that's going to overcome you, that God won't provide a way of escape. Do you pray that promise? Do you rely on that Scripture in those times of temptation? This is what Bridges is focusing our attention on here in chapter 6. What Scripture is focusing our attention on in all of these verses that I've read to you here as we finish up this chapter. And again, let me read this verse again. Matthew 26:41. Watch. Watch over yourself. Be aware. Walk in watchfulness. And pray. Pray that God's Spirit will illuminate you. Help you to understand better who you are. Watch for those places. Understand who you are. That you may not enter into temptation, because your mind is telling you that you can do it all. But in the moment when it counts, that flesh will give in if you're not watching and if you're not praying. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for all that we have covered so far in this semester, and we ask now that you will take these lessons with us as we put a pause button into our study of this book. And we just ask that all of these truths will remain with us. Allow your word to continue to breathe into us this spirit of awareness and watchfulness that all of us need. And Father, may we come before you covered in your grace. We thank you that your grace sustains our walk, that it empowers our walk, it encourages our walk. It makes our awareness what it is. And so pour out your grace upon us. May we heed your words, and may we be the reflection of Christ that you have us, that you would have all of us to be. I ask that you walk home with these good folks tonight. Watch over them, rest them well, prepare them for their days tomorrow. And we ask all of these things in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.